ABC Radio Australia.
Today is a big day in Fiji. Later this morning in the Suva Magistrates Court, former Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama, the man who ruled the country for 16 years, will find out whether he'll be sentenced to jail for perverting the course of justice. The High Court convicted Bainimarama a fortnight ago, along with the former Police Commissioner Sitiveni Kiriho on a charge of abuse of office for interfering in a police investigation in 2019. Whether he's jailed or not, it promises to be a significant moment in Fijian history. It's been just over a year after losing the prime ministership. So what does Bainimarama's conviction say about the state of the country's politics? Reporter Liam Fox spoke to longtime watcher of Fijian politics, Professor John Frankel from Victoria University of Wellington, to get his views.
We've had 17 years of first authoritarian rule under Frank Bainimarama and then semi-authoritarian rule after he became the elected prime minister in 2014. And now we're seeing the new government that's coming in are pulling out all the stops to convict both Bainimarama and the former police chief, Sitiveni Kiriho, of various offences. This is the first of several.
You mentioned there the government, the new government, pulling out all the stops. Do you think this is a case of retribution or the result of legitimate investigation into the goings-on under the previous administration?
Well, I think it's difficult. You know, in the sort of broader run of things, the offences that they're getting Bainimarama on are relatively small. He certainly, if guilty, behaved in an illegal way when he interfered in a police investigation at the University of the South Pacific, which is what he's being sentenced for today. There's also a case against him for breaching statutory requirements for tenders in health procurement. And the third thing that is being put before the courts has to do with treason, with the attempt to engineer a counter coup against the elected government. That's the big one, I would have thought.
Is there any parallel to this in Fijian political history? I'm thinking of Lysenian Garrisay's jailing.
Well, yeah, after the 2006 coup, the incoming Bainimarama-led government pulled out all the stops to try and find evidence of corruption against the former government. They found really very little. I mean, there were certainly all sorts of irregularities and badly handled things under that Garrisay government, but they didn't find evidence of major corruption. Eventually, they managed to get Garrisay on a charge related to his activities as a chairman of the Development Bank back in the early 1990s. And these were transparently efforts to try and make it impossible for Garrisay to contest the 2014 election, very clearly politically motivated. I think the current court cases against Bainimarama are really quite different.
We know that before losing the election, Frank Bainimarama had strong connections to the military, a former military man himself, of course. Do you think there's any risk if he is sentenced to a jail term of any kind of instability at all?
I think that boat has sailed. I mean, I think there was a major risk of instability in the aftermath of the December 2022 election. Indeed, the current military commander, John Kaliniwai, gave an interview to a local radio station just last week where he indicated just how unstable things were and how uncertain that election outcome was. During those days after the election, there were attempts to destabilize one of the coalition parties, the SODELPA. Then there were a series of video broadcasts in January where Bainimarama pretty much called for an uprising by the military and for failing that for a mutiny within the military. At that point, there really was a major risk of instability if Bainimarama was able to provoke such a kind of reaction within the military. But I don't think there's been any risk of a reaction from the public at large in defense of that former government. On the contrary, I think people wanted to move on. I think there's a lot of people that find it a breath of fresh air that people are able to speak openly for the first time. Civil servants are giving interviews on the radio and on TV. There's certainly a sense that things turned the corner. I think two figures that were very influential in obtaining that transition were the current military commander, John Ekelenyi, and indeed the president, who both of whom refused to be pressurized to destabilize the new government.
And that's John Frankel, Professor of Comparative Politics at Victoria University of Wellington, there speaking to Liam Fox. Well, for more on this story, we cross to Suva, where our reporter, Lide Movono, is standing by. With that, I say, Bula, Lide.
Bula and Yaravanaka, Agnes.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Gosh, look, before we get into what's happening in court today, you are outside. Do you mind setting the scene for us right now?
Agnes, right now, what I've been told by police, I'm not directly outside the courthouse yet and on my way there, but already there is police presence, increased police presence in and around the government building's precinct where the courthouse is located, along with, of course, the main government buildings and the Parliament House. However, that is about all that is indicative of how significant this day is. I've spoken to police and military sources overnight, and what they're all saying is it's low risk. They expect this to be just another day in court. The only extra police right now that we're seeing in the city is because there's going to be a lot of attention. So it's more for crowd control than anything else. However, Agnes, for us journalists, this is a pretty significant day.
Mm. Okay, well, once you get there, and I know you've been following this case very closely, can you take us through, though, how we even ended up at today's sentencing?
Sure. So what happened was, in October of last year, the magistrate that has been presiding over this case, Ms. Seni Pumau, did find Sitiveni Ngili Ho and the former Fijian Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama not guilty of the two charges that they were facing. For Mr. Bainimarama, it's attempting to avert the cause of justice, sorry. And for the suspended police commissioner, it's abuse of office. The two are understood to have stopped an ongoing criminal investigations department investigations into the University of the South Pacific. So after she acquitted the two, state prosecutors did appeal in the High Court in December, and Acting Chief Justice Salisu Sitemo handed down his ruling just over a month ago now, in which he said that Seni Pumau made errors in the law, and that she made some conclusions, or that she came up with some conclusions in her judgment that weren't backed up by fact. Also, he says that Seni Pumau did not give the state councils the opportunity to respond to some conclusions that had been made by the end of the defense's case, which hadn't come up earlier during the state evidence time. So it was a long list of 8 points in which Acting Chief Justice Salisu Sitemo says Magistrate Seni Pumau made errors in law, and he directed her to enter a guilty conviction and also to sentence the two men today. So a week ago, we were back in court for what is called a mitigation hearing or sentencing hearing in some other districts, in some other jurisdictions. So what happened then is the defense counsels had the opportunity to basically ask for leniency. But Devanesh Sharma, the defense counsel, instead also directed Seni Pumau to know that she had full discretion over what kind of sentence to give the men today. It was quite a heated debate a week ago, Agnes. I'd never seen that happen in Fijian courts, where the state prosecutors had to interrupt a court session and basically caution both the magistrate and the defense counsel to not make any more debates around the facts of the evidence, but instead to stick to the conviction. However, we did see Seni Pumau respond to that, and today we will know what she decides in terms of what kind of a sentence to give former Fijian Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama and suspended Police Commissioner Sitiveni Ngili Ho.
Wow, so we just need to confirm that she will be presiding over today's sentencing, and again, like, when will the proceedings actually begin today?
That is a very good question, Agnes. There have been a lot of rumors rife over the last week or so, and I did spend a good part of last night just, you know, checking up on all of these rumors. People are saying that, you know, she's resigned and things like that, but that's just untrue. We expect court to begin in a little over 3 hours at 11 o'clock. She is going to preside over the case and sentence the two men.
Nice. If you just joined us here on Pacific Beat, we're speaking to our ABC reporter in Fiji, Lede Movono, ahead of former Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama's possible sentencing today. Are you aware that his political party, have they made any statements about today's sentencing?
Agnes, they haven't, and I did reach out to the Acting General Secretary, Fayez Koya, who is, of course, a member of parliament. I also reached out to the leader of the opposition, Colonel Inia Serura, too, and they have not made any official statements. We did hear the former General Secretary and former Attorney General, Ayesed Kayum, in the media towards the end of last week, you know, talking about making general statements about the way prosecutions have been conducted on himself and on the party in general, but no real statements as to the sentencing that will take place today and the conviction that was handed down a month ago now.
Lede, today's sentencing is only one of the cases I know involving Mr. Bainimarama, but any other offences, though, has he been charged with that you're aware of?
Yes, Agnes. Frank Bainimarama has also been charged in two other separate unrelated cases, and he faces a count of abuse of office in one of them and two counts in another. So in the second case, he is alleged to have directed the person who was acting police commissioner at the time to terminate basically the contract of two police officers. And that trial is meant to start in just over a month from now, Agnes. And in the last set of charges that he faces, he is alleged to have waived government tender requirements for a company that received over $1 million worth of government contracts for the construction and engineering of our public health infrastructure.
With that many charges against him, I'm wondering whether or not today's sentencing, how do you feel that this will turn out today?
Well, so far, judging from last week's mitigation sentencing hearing, Magistrate Seni Pomau had an exchange with both Defence Counsel Devinesh Sharma and the State Prosecutors Laisani Tambuakuro, and it seemed that she was unsure about what role tariffs are meant to have in a sentencing. So tariffs are basically the minimum time and the minimum amount of time a convicted person should spend in jail before they are eligible for parole or, you know, can apply for release. And so there was a lot of conversation in court around what the starting point for sentencing should be. So both the charge that Frank Bainimarama faces today has a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment. So the judge has discretion around what the minimum or the maximum value within that sentence she needs to dish out to Frank Bainimarama today. However, there is what we call legal precedent, you know, whether or not people of a similar personality or profile, rather, as Frank Bainimarama, have ever faced a conviction like this in the past, and what sort of sentence were they given. And also, she's meant to consider what we call aggravating factors. And so the fact that he was, you know, the head of government, a powerful man, included in the kind of things that she might consider as aggravating factors. However, when you're asking for mitigation as a lawyer, you're meant to be presenting, you know, reasons why why the court should be sympathetic towards a convicted person. So in the case of Frank Bainimarama, one of the most important things that convicts should do or usually do is, say that they're repentant and express remorse for the crime they have committed. So in the case of Frank Bainimarama, his defense counsels were clear from the get-go that there was no repentance or remorse to be expressed, that they maintain that they were, innocent of the crimes that he has now been convicted. So they removed for themselves, that ability to be looked upon sympathetically. So right now, what some legal gurus have said is Registered Magistrate Seni Pumau may hand down a suspended sentence, a very light non-custodial sentence that keeps Frank Bainimarama outside of a prison cell. If that happens, we understand that the Director of Public Prosecutions have already begun preparations to appeal that sentence if they see it too light, Agnes.
Thanks for clarifying that up, Lide. As you said, once a powerful man, look, he's no longer a politician, right? But do you think he at least maybe still holds a bit of a sway in terms of politics in Fiji? And if so, do you think today's sentencing will affect Fijians there?
Agnes, I've been thinking about that for the last few weeks and talking about that with some sources through the night, actually, because I think the ordinary Fijian will realize this is a man who ruled over Fiji for all intents and purposes for the better part of two decades. This is a man who was all powerful in this country for longer than anyone else have. You know, no sitting prime minister has had a term as long as he had. And so he held a lot of power in the time that he was in office. And so I just think that it would be, naive for anyone to think that now that he is not a politician, that he no longer holds that power. When he contested the last three general elections, despite that his party lost out in the 2022 one, he still polled so much higher than everyone else. He held such a significant part of the votes that were cast. And so I think he's still quite popular. I think that there were a lot of people who benefited from when he was in power. There's certainly a lot of people who speak of, the poverty alleviation support that his government gave. He was quite popular for having provided educational benefits that still surpass any other government before him. And so this is a man who still wins the hearts of many people. He still draws a crowd when he comes to court. What sort of an impact this will have on his supporters, I'm not so sure. I do know, however, that there are a lot of people that are tired of instability and insecurity, and that's now the prevailing sentiment. People just want for things to be done properly, for the law to take its course, and for the country to get on, as Professor John Frankel said earlier in the show. However, I did speak with police intelligence, I spoke with military sources, and I did speak with people in the government just to find out what the mood is and whether they have, cause for concern, let's put it that way. And every indications are that there's very low to no risk to instability or anything like that. People just want to move on. However, I know there are going to be a lot of sad people. If I can illustrate it, earlier in the week, the defense counsel made a statement saying there are thousands of people praying for the former Fijian prime minister to remain out of jail. But at the same time, there are thousands of people praying that he be taken to task for the crimes for which he has been convicted, Agnes.
Well, as I said at the beginning, it is a big day there in Fiji in regards to the sentencing there of former Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama. But we say vinaka Lide for talking to us ahead of the sentencing. We will keep tabs with you. But malo.
Vinaka.
That, of course, is our ABC reporter in Fiji, Lide Movono.